Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're welcoming back Joel Lobava, who's a franchise industry veteran, and Joel's going to discuss his new ebook, The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. And in his book, Joel suggests taking a step-by-step approach and focusing on fact-gathering activities, which he includes in his book, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. Our show today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your week going, my friend? It sounds like you've been a little busy this week.
Yeah, it's been a little busier. The world of franchise financing, so it's always a battle. But, things are up and down. It's been a rough stretch in the lending industry in general.
Right,
as everybody
right.
knows nationwide. But, I've been doing it a while and know a lot of people, so it's just working a little harder. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. It sounds like your kids have been keeping you busy as well, with plays and
baseball
they had games.
They just started T-ball at a park nearby. They just had a recital in school.
Right.
They were singing songs with their class. They had their birthday last week, so, always a lot of stuff going on with the twins.
That's fantastic. I'm looking forward to all that stuff, It's getting closer. So,
We were talking just before the show even in your area, but in our area, there's farms and parks, and, we'll get all the kids together.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun, looking forward to getting back down that way,
Jersey Shore, a lot starts happening this weekend.
That's exactly. Well, it's just where Connie and I are actually from, is Jersey most of our lives, we miss things like that, like the beach and the parks and stuff like that, looking forward to that. But our last show, Don, we met with Jim Rudolph. He's the chairman of the board and CEO of Rita's Water Ice. And today Rita's is the nation's largest Italian ice chain with more than 400 stores and aggressive growth plan of 1,500 stores by 2010. It's pretty aggressive.
Right.
Incredible show. I think you said to Jim, we feel like we were getting a lesson from a professor. I found myself taking notes during that show.
I was writing vigorously. It was.
Oh, absolutely.
Felt like I was in school. And, just like you said, a real good show. I mean, I really feel he and Rita's are really lucky to have found each other, really.
Yeah,
I think he said he didn't realize what he was getting into. And then when he started seeing how many people love Rita's.
Right.
And just his passion shows through. He's so passionate about the company and the product. We've had some people on that don't always show that passion that Jim's showing for Rita's. So I thought that was a real nice aspect of the show.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it was interesting how he mentioned he commutes down from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia every week,
right.
And that's just because he has so much enthusiasm for the job. But he, I think the whole thing with Rita's as well is I learned a lot from last week's show. Is he mentioned it's the people. It's not the concept is great. Rita's has an excellent concept, but even going further is the people that he's working with. It sounds like a great corporate culture at Rita's.
Right. He knows how to put together a good team.
Oh, absolutely.
I thought it was great about him talking about his background, his history, how he knew Dave Thomas. He was a franchisee with Wendy's and had some nice stories there and uses a lot of the things he learned from Dave Thomas with the business now.
Yeah, he reminded me of Dave Thomas. Just talking to him, and again, we've never had the opportunity, to interview Dave Thomas. He passed on long before we started the radio show. But he did. And Dave Thomas is someone that I really, and I think you feel the same, really admire. But, studying Dave Thomas, watching his biography, I've watched it on the Biography Channel like a dozen times, he just reminded me a lot of Dave Thomas. You can see the impact that Dave had on him,
Right.
And, I like how he mentioned, Dave would say, because Jim was a Wendy's franchisee, I think he owned like 46 of them, Dave used to say, you're not in the hamburger business, you're in the people business. You know,
right.
Vitas is also in the people business, and that's what he says to. I think it's one of the first things he says to his new franchisees at. It's a clever name, wasn't it? Cool University.
Right.
For their training.
And yeah, he changed up some things and just making the whole atmosphere, I guess, a little more fun, because it's a fun, you know, type of product, of course.
It
people
really
are always
is.
Happy. Yeah.
You know, we're as you know, we're big fans. You know, we typically go to Rita's. It's I would say once or twice a week, you know, and he mentioned some new products that they have too as well, Don. This one called a Slenderita. It's like this no-fat custard vanilla, and then there's this like coffee custard.
Right.
And he's very open to change, isn't he? Like he
right.
embraces change. You know, he wants change, and he's really somebody who he had a great quote. I still have my notes from last week. Jim stated, it says, you have to love what you do. You have to learn every day. And
right.
I think you called him a franchise expert. And, you know, he, as you said, he's a very modest guy. He says, you know what, I'm not. You know, I'm still learning. And, you know, I try to learn something every day. And
all the best ones have that type of attitude. You're right, though. I think the passion, learn every day. I think, of course, work hard was another one.
Yes, and working hard was another one, you know. And you and I frequently talk about that on the show. You know, as franchising, you know, I believe some people have this perception that just because you buy a franchise that it's going to kind of run on automatic pilot, you know, and you and I emphasize to our listeners, no, you know, you have to work very hard, and the franchisees that we've had on the show over the last 2 years, you know, they all say the same thing. They say, you know what, I busted my butt for, you know, the first couple of years, and now I am finally starting to, you know, be able to go on vacation or take little breaks and things like that, you know.
Right,
so
all the reasons why they invested in a franchise are all starting to happen and come to fruition.
Absolutely.
But it's not easy work, right?
Right. I think what makes him special too, Don, is he truly understands the franchisee because he was one, you know. He knows what the franchisee wants. He knows what they think. He knows
right.
what they are expecting. And I think that has really helped Rita's as well. You know, the leadership of a franchise is so important, you know, and I would feel very comfortable with Jim steering the ship.
And what have a lot of people said, the top people at different franchise companies, they say about the most important thing is the quality of their franchisees that really make the whole system. So, obviously Jim knows that. And I think we learned something new as well with Rita starting to have those walk-in stores. It should be pretty interesting.
That's interesting. What did you think of that? It's you know, because you and I are so used to kind of like the walk-ups. You know, I'm sure
right.
there's some listeners that are unfamiliar with Rita's in certain part of the country or even the world, but typically you walk up to the counter, you know?
Right.
And I guess the whole new franchise, or the prototype anyway, is kind of where you walk in. I was just curious what your thoughts were on that.
Well, I guess they're trying to wrap the whole year around franchisees making money, get rid of the, you know, seasonality aspect of it.
Exactly. And wasn't it interesting, too, how he's giving his franchisees the option? You know, he says, you know what, if you don't want to keep the store open all year, you don't have to. It could be a seasonal business, you know, where you're open kind of like 7 months during the year. So he's just an incredible leader. He's somebody that somebody should write a book about, you know. I mean,
right.
Someone should step up to the plate and just write a book on his life, because I just found him really fascinating. He gave some other great advice. His advice to aspiring entrepreneurs or franchisees, he says you need to trust, you need to respect, and you need to believe the
right.
franchisor. And that's so important, isn't it, to have all three of those elements? You have to trust them. You have to believe what they're saying is true. This way you follow the system. And you have to have that mutual respect. That's, you know,
right.
common theme of every show. It's a marriage, isn't it? You know,
right.
And a marriage isn't going to work if you don't have that that trust and respect.
He also mentioned the five C's: commitment, consistency, communication, change. And because I was writing so frantically, I didn't...
I think the other one was R&D, yeah. It was funny because you and I must be so much alike. You know, I was writing them down, too. I got four of them, and there was another one, R&D, I think.
Right.
Which stood for something relating to C. But
right.
I think one of the most important elements he mentioned of those five C's, the communication, he says, you know, you're always striving to improve communication with, you know, your franchisees, with your customers, whatever it may be. So But yeah, I mean, again, I can go on and on, you know, talking about,
right.
you know, last week's show. It was just.
We should call him up right now and just.
You know, he'd probably take our call too. He's just, he's that kind of. He really was, you know, a true gentleman. So.
Right.
You know, we'll have to have him back in the future. Just a great show. We got a lot of great feedback on last
yeah.
week, and you know, speaking of great guys, we have a great show today as well, don't we?
Yeah, Joel LaBava. We had him on in the past. Real good guy. Of course, likes our show. He's been involved in franchising for 15 years, and he's doing a whole bunch of stuff.
He really is. He's very busy.
Yeah. So I mean, he is an expert, and he's a
Absolutely.
Top consultant. He's an industry blogger. He's got an e-book out, and so he's going to be giving a lot of great advice on franchising. So
yeah, we're
going to
talk about the e-book today as well, Don. You know, it's funny. I was just doing a little research the other day on Joel, and I found a quote on him from Rick Eggleton. He's the owner of Explore Biz. He says, this is what he says about Joel. He says, Joel's knowledge of the franchise industry is strengthened by both his years as a franchise consultant and his years of franchise ownership. Joel is diligent with his clients, putting their needs and wants above all else. And you could see that when we had Joel on the first time, the amount of time that he actually spends with his clients. As a coach, Joel is great at keeping his clients moving and making sure there is no miscommunication during their investigation process. If you need help in exploring your options in franchise ownership, you would be hard pressed to find someone better than to work with than Joel. You know, so some pretty strong words. You know?
Can't get better than that.
Sure, absolutely. You know, so again, looking forward to having Joel back on the show today.
And next week we're meeting with Edible Arrangements.
That's
great.
Great
franchise,
isn't it?
Based out of Connecticut, approaching 10 years in business. I've been working with them for years with financing, so I'm excited. We're having on the top guy, the CEO, Tarek, will be coming on. So we're excited about
him. I hear great
him.
Things about him as well, don't you? I mean, it's I heard he's a very great personality to speak to, you know, kind
right.
of along the lines of, like, Jim from last week, you know.
Well, let's
so,
don't put too much pressure on him.
No, I won't do that. Absolutely. Have you ever used their service, Don, Edible?
Yes.
Recently, okay. Because
I did last Christmas, I guess. We couldn't get the whole family together. Some family were down in Florida, so Christmas Eve wanted to – thought they were coming, wanted to get them a little gift, sent them an Edible Arrangements gift.
That's fantastic.
They loved it. So, and it all happened real quick, called up. It's, you know, that's what's great about the service. You know, it's last-minute type stuff, and it's, you know, and everybody loves it.
Absolutely, yeah. We've used their service as well, and, you know, been very, very happy with it, you know, and we'd definitely be a repeat customer, you know, so.
Yeah, and on June 5th, Marty, we're meeting with Chris Cheek of Brugger's Franchise Corp. They're a quick casual bakery cafe known for authentic bagels based out of Vermont. So we're looking forward to that. That's coming up on June 5th and got a, you know, other shows after that. So it'll be a, you know, good couple of months coming up.
That's fantastic. That's great. I know he has some interesting articles that you wanted to go over as well.
Yeah, here's something in Franchising World Magazine, special report, Economic Impact on Franchising. You know, our first segment, we always like to discuss things and mention statistics. One thing here, Marty says, what happens because of franchise businesses? The economic impact of franchising goes beyond activities inside franchise businesses because their purchases of products and services and the personal purchases of their owners and workers contribute to the growth of non-franchise businesses. As a result of these spillover effects, the total impact of franchising was to provide 21 million jobs, that's 15.3% of all private sector jobs, and $661 billion of payroll, that's 12.5% of all private sector payroll, in 2005.
Wow.
Output produced because of franchise businesses grew from $1.5 trillion in 2001 to more than $2.3 trillion in 2005. Pretty big increase in those 4 years. An average growth of 10.9% per year. So, wow, over 11% average growth per year. In 2005, output produced because a franchise business accounted for 11.4% of all private sector output. So, obviously, continued growth with the increase in franchises nationwide. But
right,
we always like to mention these statistics, which now we're in our second year doing the show, just seem like they keep going up and up.
The statistics have changed significantly since we've started the show, Don. You know, I was looking from when we began, and I remember, you know, sometimes we'd actually post some of these stats on our webpage. And
right.
My God, this is getting complicated because the stats are just constantly changing. So,
right.
You know, to keep up with them. And I think the main theme is that there's growth, you know, so it's just been incredible.
I mean, yeah, it's just mushrooming.
Sure, absolutely.
Here's something from New Wire Investor. Franchise opportunities for young people. Low-cost, low-risk franchise opportunities for young people pursuing their own business. Just dated recently, May 13th, by Milana Yanos. As the school year draws to a close, it is anticipated that more than 2 million bachelor's and associate's degrees will be conferred to graduating college students, according to the National Center of Education Statistics. Before venturing into the real world, like remember in our early 20s, that was always a big word.
That was a,
you're now going into the real world. As adults, new alumni traditionally find themselves entertaining two post-college options, continuing their education or finding a job. A handful of graduates, however, might entertain another option, owning their own business. But most entrepreneurial-minded young people typically encounter two roadblocks in pursuit of this goal. First, they probably don't have the experience or know-how required to run a successful startup business on their first try.
Right.
The second common roadblock for young entrepreneurs is having adequate financial resources to open a franchise, as the initial investment can easily require hundreds of thousands of dollars. To maximize their chances for a strong start, aspiring entrepreneurs might consider opening a franchise. Diligent research can turn up franchises with franchisees starting as low as $20,000 and potential for high returns. A great franchisor has gone out and developed all the tools that you need to start a business, says Lori Kaiser Block, president of Franchoice. They've developed the marketing system, the training and operation system, the brand and the marketing tools you need in order to sell that business. They've made all the mistakes for you.
Right.
This is just interesting. I don't really get to help people who were young, early 20s, too much in financing.
Right.
But I guess with the growth of franchising, there's a lot more lower investment type of franchises popping up. And I guess it's getting more, you know, younger people into the game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We've even had some guests on the show, Don, that had scholarships. Again, we're approaching the 80th show, so it's hard to remember who was doing something like this. But I do recall several franchises having, like, scholarships for, like,
right.
college graduates, you know,
where
they actually, like, waive the franchise fee, you know.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting, you know.
That's where a little advice can go a long way. New Wire has picked five types of franchises that might best meet the personal and financial qualifications for young people. But we'll leave the task of pitching business plans to their parents and other family members. All right. One is pet care. While the story of the late Leona Helmsley and her multi-millionaire dog is not the norm, today's pet owners are taking extremely good care of their furry friends. Pet care makes up a $42 billion industry.
Yeah.
Well, we had Central Bark Doggy Daycare on, and I'm sure we'll have other pet ranches on.
Absolutely.
It's the seventh fastest growing industry in America, according to Paul Mann, CEO and founder of Fetch Pet Care. There's a huge business opportunity because baby boomers and the dual income household folks are consistently spending more and more on their pets, even in downward recession periods like this, he said. In addition to the potential for growth, pet care franchises tend to be low cost and low risk. The franchise fee for Fetch Pet Care is set at $10,000. The franchisee will typically need an additional $7,000 to $10,000 to cover operating costs in the first year, according to Mann. Like many other franchises in the pet industry, it is home-based operation. It's a turnkey business where a franchise is hiring staff to go out and take care of people's pets, no bringing clients or their pets into their own homes.
That's great, isn't it? You know, one thing I say to my marketing students all the time, you know, is the opportunity is pets, you know, dogs. I mean, I've certainly elevated in society. I remember you telling a funny story once. I think it was you where you watched your mom and dad's dog, and I think, what did they give him, Evian water or something like that?
Right.
It's like not tap water. You know, it's amazing how pets have just elevated in society. You know, I know in the area I lived on, there's this nice woman. She actually has a little business walking dogs, you know. She'll walk your dog, you know. So it's just because the mommy and the daddy are both working today, you know what I mean? So somebody...
Right.
You
know, someone has to pick up the slack and
exactly.
care of the pet.
So it is. It's an interesting industry, and we've seen the explosion in that industry as well. So,
Yeah, the next one here is painting services, personal outsourcing. Maybe a new business trend, but hiring outside help for home improvements such as painting is anything but a novel idea. Furthermore, demand for painting services, an $82 billion industry, tends to be strong and stable, even during periods of economic uncertainty, according to Pete Barkham, Vice President of Franchising Recruitment for Certapro Painting. Familiar with that company a little bit, help some people open up.
Yeah, they're actually in this area as well. I've seen them. You know, and again, you have to take into consideration for our listeners, Don, you know, that you're not actually going to be painting the homes, right? I mean,
it's more managing people, yeah.
Sure, absolutely. You know, so it's one thing to take into consideration. You know, I think a lot of people have a common misperception, like, well, I don't want to paint, you know.
Right,
It was the same thing with the guys from Fish Window Cleaning. You know, remember when we had them on the show, you know, it's not like they actually went out and cleaned the windows. You know, they hired people to do that. You know, they managed the business. So,
Good point.
Absolutely.
It says when the economy is down, what you'll find is that people tend to take care of what they've got. And consequently, business has grown tremendously over the past couple of years in spite of a national downturn.
That's interesting. That makes sense, doesn't it? I never thought about that, but people will probably take better care of their homes.
The next one is children's services. To quote Herbert Hoover, children are our most valuable natural resource, and parents are investing in them heavily. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimated that families making upwards of $70,200 spend an average of $269,520 to raise a child from birth through the age 17 as of 2004.
Wow.
Which means I'm probably in trouble here because I have twins.
There you go. It's like $500,000 for you.
Yeah.
and that's
not including the 4 years of college tuition, amount that could easily pay for a house. Needless to say, the children's services industry is booming, and young investors can take advantage of a wide variety of opportunities in child-related franchises, many of which are home-based. Educational services may present an exceptional opportunity for growth. The public school systems are cutting out a lot of those additional services, such as the arts and music, and so those are areas of franchising that are becoming very popular, Kaiser Block said. People can go out and buy those services for their kids. Interesting point there.
That is interesting, yeah.
The next one is non-medical home care.
We've had two non-medical home care franchises, you know, and this is another industry that's been exploding, really, you know, for the last, almost like 10 years now.
Right, talking about how stable that industry is and how it's growing, and it could be particularly lucrative, and it's a low-risk industry. And,
absolutely.
You know, it's more and more seniors. We've talked about that. And the last one, Marty, is existing franchise businesses. Buying an existing business as opposed to starting from scratch has been the conventional wisdom for aspiring entrepreneurs. Existing businesses are generally lower risk. They may have established some sort of cash flow and probably won't incur high costs for building out new office space. Buying an existing franchise business offers the added benefit of branding and often franchise support from corporate headquarters. The biggest advantage for young entrepreneurs with limited access to capital, however, is the possibility of obtaining seller financing.
Right.
Purchasing the franchise, especially if the previous owner is eager to get rid of the business. So I thought this was just interesting in general. Well, we don't talk probably enough about young people in franchising, but here's a couple industries: pet care, painting services, children's services, non-medical home care, and then buying an existing business for people who want to go in a different direction soon after college.
That's interesting. You know, we've pretty much spoke about most of those topics on the show. You know, one thing that we haven't spoken about, Don, that I, you know, as you were reading this article is talking to, I guess, an expert as far as buying an existing franchise. You know, we haven't spent a lot of time doing that, you know, but I think that's another great topic for the show, you know, that we should consider doing.
Yeah, we can tie we're probably due for another financing show soon. We've done a couple. We can tie
we've
that
topic.
We've done financing
in a while, you know,
right.
So we should get back to that because there's a lot going on in financing as well, you know.
Right.
But that's another interesting topic. We spent time talking about location and franchise attorneys. We had Nancy on, was it 3-4 weeks ago, you know, so
just all the latest trends and changes like the FDD, we'll always be up to date on that.
Well, even with the economy, it was interesting how you mentioned, you know, and it just makes so much sense, you know, if you think about it, you know, when the economy's bad, people take better care of their homes, you know what I mean, or their cars or whatever it may be, you know, so that's really very interesting. But today we have a great show, as you were mentioning earlier, Don. We're welcoming back Joel LaBava, who's a friend to the show. And Joel is a franchise industry veteran. And Joel discussed his new book, The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. And in his new book, Joel suggests taking a step-by-step approach and focusing on fact-gathering activities, which he includes in his easy-to-follow book. Hey, Joel, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, Joel. How's everything going today?
Great, thank you.
That's fantastic.
Hey, Joel, it's Don Johnson. It's good to have you back on.
Right.
My first question to you is, how do you find the time to do everything you're doing these days? You're quite involved with this stuff.
That's true.
It's getting increasingly difficult, and as soon as I can figure out what the heck I can delegate, I'm going to do it. But right now, with all the writing and blogging and doing stuff on guest columns and radio, I mean, I just have to figure out what I can delegate. That's a good question, though, and it's been definitely on my mind for the last couple months now.
Well, you're doing a great job just helping the franchise industry in general, companies, individuals. You know, it's great to have people like you out there, like really benefiting the whole industry.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad you guys are around, too. You know, this Internet radio thing is wonderful.
It really has. Yeah. It's taken off, Joel, you know, and we've doubled or actually tripled our listenership, you know, probably since we've last spoken to you, you know. So it's just incredible, you know, since we've been working with Blog Talk Radio. It's just been a great experience.
Well, good for you. You know, it's interesting because I drove past your office about 2 weeks ago, and there was not one but two Brinks trucks right in front of your door, and I didn't know what was going on, but now I do.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely. It must have been a great feeling for you to complete the e-book as well, Joel. You know, it's just been one of my dreams for a long time to write a book, you know, and I can't imagine what that felt like for you, you know, to you know put the finishing touches on it. And
it was great. Took 4 months.
I can imagine.
Which isn't bad. I mean, you know, it's not a 200-page book, but it took 4 months.
Absolutely, but the book is definitely different. There's nothing out there like, you know, I think Don and I have probably read all of them, you know, and, you know, the book is quite detailed, but it's not overwhelming. And I noticed you talk about things that people wouldn't think about talking about, like, for example, what you should expect to happen once you reach out to a franchise opportunity for help. Why include things like what to do after receiving a franchise packet in the mail and what to expect from a franchise conference call. Very interesting stuff.
Well, it's real-life stuff. You know, I've worked with hundreds of people in the past several years, and the ones that have followed the process the right way and decide to get into franchising are definitely more prepared than folks that are just going to go out and buy a Subway or something. Nothing wrong with Subway, but to go out and buy a Subway just because they think it's popular. You know, they don't do the research. The research is the key.
Sure, absolutely. And I think most people, Joel, you know, not to be condescending to our listeners, but I think they simply just don't know how to research, you know, and
your
book shows exactly like in a step-by-step process how to do all that, you know. Just so important, the research process.
It is.
I mean, it's intimidating. I mean,
it is intimidating.
It's a whole life-changing. It's a big investment, or it could be. And then you're getting all this information. You know, someone needs that coach, that person, that consultant to help them. You know, so they get they call up a franchise, the FDD gets delivered to them. You know, what do you suggest that they do from there, Joel?
Well, they're going to get they'll reach out to the franchisor, and the franchisor hopefully will follow up within a day, and they'll get a packet in the mail, and the franchisor will ask them nicely to look it over, and then to schedule a conference call.
Right.
And that first conference call, I think, is one of the most important parts of the whole process. The franchisor isn't really doing any selling at that point.
Right.
They're kind of seeing if they like you, and you're kind of feeling things out to see if you like them, just kind of as a person first, because you're going to be interacting for weeks with this franchise director.
Do you recommend that the buyer prospect, the franchisee, does their homework and knows quite a bit about that franchise they're looking at, or is that still a little too soon?
A little too soon. You know, at first glance, people are attracted to certain franchise opportunities because they think they're popular, or they think that they're needed in their neighborhood, or they've heard about something. Just approach it with an open mind. Get the brochure, whether it's electronic or whether it's snail mail, and look over the brochure, write some questions down as you go, and that way you're prepared for the conference call. But the research part, you're just at the beginning. See if you like what the franchise director has to say first.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've been in like a Dunkin' Donuts, Joel, or a Subway, you know, and just standing online and someone next to you says, God, I wish I owned one of these.
Wish I had one of these, yeah.
Right, just because it's the fact that it's crowded, you know.
Right.
It's a terrible reason to
terrible
franchise, you know.
Terrible reason. You know, what are the chances that you have something in common with the owner of that Dunkin' Donuts or that Subway? You know, it looks good on the outside, and there's nothing wrong with the food franchise, but I hope you know what you're getting into.
Right, absolutely.
And that's where you come in, to really do all the behind-the-scenes things and to make sure they're asking themselves all the questions that, that maybe they haven't thought of. That's going to be imperative to make sure they're happy in whatever business they choose.
That's right. And you know, I don't know if you went down far enough on the page that I have set up for the book, but a good friend of mine, Sean Kelly, who's also another pretty popular franchise blogger, suggested that I include a half hour of my time for people that invest in this book, and that's what I've done. So people can arrange to talk to me for a half hour on the phone.
Great.
And bounce their ideas off of me. I'm not going to sell them anything. I'm not going to try to switch them to an opportunity that I work with. I just want to talk to them and tell them that, yeah, you're doing the research the right way. You're headed the right direction.
Exactly.
So I'm doing that now.
And I guess, and this is something Marty and I have preached on, you know, just about every show, that when someone's researching a franchise, it's so imperative to call and speak to the other franchisees that's listed in the FDD. And you even recommend going to visit the franchisees and to just ask a lot of questions. You know, why should someone do all this, Joel?
It's amazing that a lot of people that I've talked to that have come to me a little too late and said, boy, Joel, I wish I would have talked about you, or I wish I would have known about your book. They all say the same thing. Oh, I didn't talk to any franchisees.
That's incredible.
And I said, why not? Well, the franchise director, you know, they said I didn't have to, or, you know, I'm perfect for the business. You know, you got to talk to the people that are actually doing it and that took the risk already. That's what it's about. These people took the risk. They're not getting paid by the franchise company to say good things.
Right.
You know, so talk to the people that are doing the business. See if there's some stuff in common.
Yeah, and I think that's something that helps you sleep better at night, Joel, you know, is it kind of gets rid of that nervousness, because this is a very big investment, you know. It's just a lot of times, you know, Don and I think you as well, you compare it to a marriage, you know.
Yeah.
It's that big, you know, so it really is so important that you have all the facts. And I suspect that there's a lot of people out there that don't have all the information that they actually need to make the decision.
No, and they're making the decision on emotion. They're
exactly.
Not making it on facts.
Absolutely, you know. So,
and what's the percentage of people who eventually invest in a franchise? It's over 90% that they never initially considered that franchise or industry to begin with.
Well, the ones that work with folks like myself, most of them are definitely in franchises they never really thought of or might not have heard of, but the skill set matches. But there's still a lot of people out there, you guys, that just buy a franchise because it's branded, or, you know, it has a name, or they really think that it would be perfect in this shopping center.
Right.
Right.
And they're the wrong match for the business.
Exactly.
So they fail.
It's interesting. Joel, you do a nice job at explaining the different finance arrangements that are out there, and you even include ways to talk to your local bankers. Can you tell our listeners why that's so important?
Well, most people that are getting into franchising nowadays are not the college kids, and I know you talked about that. But most of them are folks in their you know mid 40s to 60 years old.
Right.
So they hopefully already have some kind of relationship with their local community bank. So that's the first place to go. I would try to meet with the branch manager, tell him or her that you're thinking about getting into a business of your own, and see how they respond to you and get to know them and have them get to know you and see if there's a comfort level, because a local bank, I feel, is going to really, really try to make sure that you succeed because, you know, their money's on the line too. And it doesn't hurt to have a checking account and a savings account and to use all the leverage you can to try to get a loan from a local lender.
It depends on the size of the loan, because that's the business I'm in, and we're always telling people when they're first calling us and looking into franchise financing to go speak to their local banks.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the answer. And
sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I agree.
Right. And we work with lenders nationwide, and but we do a lot of consulting, and you know, that's a whole other you know, conversation. But you're right about them, you know, right off the bat, know their situation, just not how much they might be able to get a loan for, but just how much they can safely invest. So
yeah.
In case they lose their investment, do they have money to fall back on? All of our loans, Joel, that we do, we make sure we include plenty of working capital.
Heck yeah, that's so important.
Yeah, because people don't realize that when you open, it's just not the investment to get your doors open. You have that reserve, that money, that cash flow and working capital to start paying bills the first 3-6 months or more. And if you go through that, you have your own personal reserve to have that as a fallback position. So we're always preaching that to people, and that's so important that they have to really think about what size investment they can do in general.
That's
something
right.
we help or their local bank, their local banker can talk to them about as well.
Also, just because there's a local banker involved doesn't mean that local banker knows anything about franchise investing or even how to do a franchise loan.
Right.
But it's a good start.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Joel, maybe we can talk a little bit about the economy and its impact on franchising right now.
Yeah. I don't know how it is by you, but, in the Cleveland area, past couple of years have been pretty ugly. One of the problems here is right now we don't have much to offer people that want to move here. Even though us Clevelanders and us, Northern Ohioans kind of know that there's some good stuff going on, it's pretty tough, But then you look at a market like a Denver or a Phoenix, the coasts that have a lot of activity, a lot of entrepreneurship, a lot of Fortune 500 companies that have headquarters. There's a lot more activity there. The Midwest is, it's just been real tough in the Midwest. But the economy right now is tough. I feel that we've been in a recession for a couple months now. There's a lot of factors going into that recession, but there is definitely a lot of corporate downsizing going on. I'm not busy yet. I'm feeling probably in 2 months I'm going to get busy because a lot of the folks that are used to making six figures may not be finding jobs as fast as they can.
Right.
So they might be thinking to themselves, is there another career direction that I should maybe start thinking about? And that's usually when my phone rings. But when there's first downsizing, people are pretty confident that they're going to be able to get another job. I usually get the calls from people who have been out of work for 6 months or 9 months and are saying, Joel, you were referred to me. Is this the time to get into a franchise? I think when the economy's like this, it's a great time to get into a franchise. Commercial loan rates tend to be lower,
right.
And you can learn the business slower and start ramping up so when the economy explodes again and gets really, really gets going, you're ready.
Yeah, it's a good point. There's certain industries that are recession-proof, but the franchise industry as a whole, again, not recession-proof, but I think during a downturn like this, people have to do something.
And there's opportunities out there.
Yeah. So that's what's interesting about the franchise industry. In good times, it's going to go well, and in bad times, things might be overall slower. There's still going to be a lot of people, investing in franchises, especially with the growth and
right.
everything going on, and people like you out there helping people. So it's kind of interesting thought,
Yeah, it was interesting, Joel. That in the beginning of the show, Don was reading an article saying that when the economy is bad, I guess people take better care of their stuff as well.
Yeah,
like
they sure
homes,
do. That's right. They're not.
Like
that's
that.
Right.
It's just quite interesting. I said, I never thought about that. But it makes so much sense.
Are you seeing, Joel, more people looking at lower investment size franchises?
I tend to try to work in the lower investment ones anyway.
Yeah.
I like the folks that I work with to try to really lower their risk financially.
Yeah.
It's all over the board. It's all over the board, but it's definitely not real busy right now. I'm waiting. I think in the next couple months, my email box and my phone's going to start ringing more and more. It usually takes a couple months for the economy to stay kind of lousy for things to start happening. The folks I've talked to, the franchisors, have told me that it's definitely slowed down.
Right.
Couple of months.
I think we've noticed that, too, at the last show, too, Joel. It was in D.C., Don. You said it was kind of slow there, wasn't it?
Right.
There's
no doubt the economy has had an impact on things. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It was actually quiet on the last day, I guess, actually. And we're a big fan of going to the shows and everything
right.
like that. But
there's a lot of fear out there, guys.
Sure.
There's a lot of fear. And I think that's why it's really important that if you're going to invest in a franchise or a non-franchise, that you do the research the right way.
Right.
Exactly. Make sure you're making the right decision, and we're a big proponent of using, professionals and specialists like yourself.
Right.
All these decisions are so important. Reviewing the FDD, choosing which franchise, signing a lease, whatever it is.
Right.
So maybe the people listening, tell people a little bit more about franchise selection specialists and all the services that you guys do.
Sure. My main focus is helping Northeast Ohioans. find appropriate opportunities in the world of franchising, and I teach them how to do the research, and I kind of coach them along the process. Then I introduce them to local franchise attorneys, and lenders, accountants. I even help them with their marketing because my business has also turned into a franchise marketing business. So I run four blogs of my own, the main blog being the Franchise King blog. And I'm also right now, I don't know if you guys knew this, but I run the franchise blog over at allbusiness.com. Which was, it's a huge site that was just bought by Dun & Bradstreet for about $30 million.
Yeah, I heard that. So
I'm doing that. I'm on smallbusinesstrends.com, which is another pretty big small business website.
That's a great one, Joe.
It's a great one. I author there. I'm the franchise expert in residence there. I do a post about once a month about franchising.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a lot of writing. Plus, I own some websites that I'm doing stuff with. So I'm definitely... you know, heart set on the franchise world. I'm very, very pro-franchise, but I'm also very skeptical. I get franchise companies calling me all the time that want to maybe, you know, be on the blog or want me to represent them and help them find franchisees, and I'm really careful.
Sure, you have to.
So, but I have an all-encompassing business that's focused on franchising, and I'm not very politically correct if you read my blogs. If there's a scam out there, I have no problem talking about it.
Exactly.
If there's a lousy franchisor, no problem talking about it.
Right, absolutely. You've done a lot of work with the vets too, Joel, haven't you? You know, since we that was actually how we first heard about you. You were doing the franchise blog for vets.
Yeah, I do. I try to do as much as I can for the war veterans, and there's going to be tons of them returning.
Exactly.
From Iraq.
A lot of opportunity there.
A lot of opportunity, and they're really, really a nice fit for franchising. If you're a military person, right away you're a good fit for franchising. It doesn't mean that you could succeed, and it doesn't mean that you should be doing it. But you know, psychologically, it's a really good fit because you're used to working a system.
Absolutely, I would agree with that. Yeah, I was told, Don, when I go back for my PhD, Joel, I'd like that would be the dissertation. You know, is do veterans make you know, better franchisees, and I believe they do, you know, just because the ability, and again, not all of them, as you said.
Not all of them,
you know,
right.
But just because they have this ability to follow a system, you know, so I always thought they'd be a great match.
Yeah, they really are.
I've read a lot of articles over the last couple of years that, you know, a lot of different franchisors are very pro-military.
Oh, yeah.
Go out and recruit the veterans, so hopefully that continues, and I'm sure I'll be speaking to a lot in the next few years.
Yeah, that VetFran program is wonderful.
It
veterans
is.
Can get a discount on the franchise fee with about, I think they're almost up to 300 franchisors now, something like that.
Right.
So it's good stuff.
Yeah, so you've been in the business, it's about 15 years, Joel, so you've done a lot of different things. So you know that, you know, that prototypical type of entrepreneur or you know, franchisee. So really my question is, you know, what do you feel the best and strongest characteristics to be successful in franchising?
The ability, I think the biggest one is the ability to put your ego aside and say, look, if I want to get into business now, I want to get into the business that's going to get me where I want to go the fastest.
Right.
And since I don't have an idea on my own, why not ride the coattails of someone else? So if you can put your ego aside and say, I'm going to use someone else's system. I'm going to follow their plan. I'm not going to argue. And I just need to prove that the system works by doing the research. Then I'm just going to do it. Because it's, even though it's about me, it's about the whole picture. And when you get into a franchise, you're really partnering with a franchise company. So if you're willing to really, really go through that owner's manual and the operations manual and use the right marketing concepts and templates and everything that's given to you as part of your fees, you know, I think you can be a good candidate for franchising.
I would agree with that.
How much due diligence do you think people should do? Is there a certain time frame?
Yeah, I would say for someone that's not working right now, that's been downsized, 4 to 6 weeks from beginning to end should be plenty.
Right.
If they're super analytical, maybe 7 or 8 weeks. But if you follow the directions in this book, it's really easy to get all the facts that you'll need to get. There's gonna be that point where you get to where it's like, well, I think I've learned all I could learn. It's time to either do it or not do it.
Right, absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, 4 to 6 weeks is pretty reasonable. And then depending on the franchise, if it's a home-based or a small office franchise that doesn't really require inventory, you know, you're in business in a couple months after that. If it's a storefront like Arita's, like you guys were talking about, 6 months, maybe 9 months sometimes to find a location.
Right.
Absolutely.
Are there some certain industries in franchising right now you feel pretty strong about that are going real solid? What are a couple of your favorite ones that you're putting people towards?
The senior care medical and non-medical franchise concept,
right.
I think that these franchisors that are proving themselves right now are really, really starting to gel. I think 5-6 years ago when a lot of these, especially the non-medical franchises came out, I think they were just kind of learning.
Right.
I think now there's a few that really get it.
Yeah.
You know, the demographics of this country, the numbers do not lie.
Oh, right. Absolutely.
And if you can get in now and ramp up for the next 10 years with the millions of baby boomers that are still going to be retiring, I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
That is definitely one that I am focused on because I see it. I see what's going on.
Absolutely.
And just the whole state of the franchising industry, where would you put it right now, Joel? I mean, obviously the economy has an effect on things, but franchising with the growth, the new systems, everything—if you feel good in general about the franchise, world, I guess.
Well, I told you that I wasn't politically correct. this internet thing has really, really changed everyone's business. There are so many choices out there right now in franchising, and there's new concepts coming out every month. Mm-hmm. I think as a consumer that is interested in learning about franchising, I think that it's a little overwhelming, more than it's ever been.
Right.
In addition to the marketing messages they're starting to get just by going on the internet to look at a franchise or two or three, they're getting inundated with messages on billboards and radio and email boxes, and it's just really, really tough, I think, for someone to be able to slow themselves down enough to say, what is it that I want this business to do for me?
Right.
You know, where am I going to fit in? And then the other thing is, everyone seems to want to become a franchise consultant or franchise broker. when I joined a group that I'm not with anymore 7 years ago, my late father was one of the earliest members of this group. I mean, in 91, when he started, there were maybe 40 or 50 people doing what I do, maybe in the whole country.
Right.
Now there's at least 2,000 or more
That's right.
Are not only trying to help people looking for franchises, but now they're actually competing with each other and with the franchisors and with the marketing messages.
Right.
So, the brokerage industry is really crowded. I've written about it before. And it's a little scary because everyone thinks that they're going to become a franchise broker and make oodles of money.
Right.
But now there's more franchises to choose from. There's more franchise brokers that are going to be reaching out, along with more marketing messages. I think I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen. There's going to have to be a shakeout.
Right.
And that's what I'm feeling. And a lot of the folks that do what I do have been talking about this.
Right, right. More complicated than ever, Joel.
It is. There's so many marketing messages that we're getting bombarded with.
Right, which is, really, brings us to, the reason why you have the e-book. Marty, I'm sure you've seen some of the, the chapters here, Franchise Pros and Cons.
Right.
How to work with the franchise salesperson, the 7 must-do steps to take.
Right.
Of course, talking about, financial considerations, the legalities, choosing the right attorney.
Yeah.
When should you make your decision? Yeah, when you should say no. So, great information that people have to know getting into, especially a franchise business.
That's so important.
It could be wonderful or it could be a mistake.
Exactly. Yeah, and I like how you mentioned too, Joel, is what do I want this franchise to actually do for me? We had someone on the show, I can't remember, it was about 3-4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
They said, people don't buy drills because they need a drill. They buy a drill because they need a hole.
Because it's a solution, right.
Exactly, and it's just franchising is a means to an end. And we had these great guys on the show, it was about a month and a half ago. It was a Fish Window Cleaning, and they were like the franchisees of the year. And, they worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car for years, and they never seen themselves getting into this kind of franchise, you know, but the franchise
right.
was just a perfect fit for them because their goal was to spend more time with their families, you know.
Right.
That's exactly what the
Monday
franchise
through Friday.
Does for them. Exactly, you know, and on Fridays I think they take off now too, don't they, Don? I don't think they
right.
even go to the office anymore. So they have these great hours where they spend with their kids and their wife, and that's what it did for them, you know, and it's just so I love how you say that, you know, what do I want this franchise to actually do for me? You know,
right, right.
People think of that, you know.
Yeah, because people don't always ask those detailed questions. People
right.
will rush to make a decision. They want to start making money. They
sure.
But if you know, it might be the best to take those 3 to 6 extra months to do all your due diligence.
That's
and
right.
Making sure you're going into the right situation because, you know, what we talked about being a marriage, you have a 10-year agreement. There's a lot going on. You want to make sure you're comfortable with the franchisor and the people there that you're going to be, you know, speaking to often. You just got to make sure it's going to be a good situation. Yeah, I bet those guys, Joel, down at the IFA show in Orlando, and I just thought it would be, just pretty nice to have them on the show because they did so much of their own due diligence. They were just so detailed. They took a lot of time before
good
they chose Fish Window, and they
good
went
for
to
them.
A franchise consultant,
right.
and they had the 100 questions. Like, you know, their wives were on board. And
good.
So, you know, they did all the right stuff.
Absolutely. Well, the book is called The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. And did you want to plug some websites, Joel? There's a lot of them. Or even give
sure,
you-
yeah, there are a lot of them. Well, first of all, if they just go to your website, they can buy the book, I believe.
They can. They can go
I
to
think
our,
you have
we
it
have
on.
A new book section, you know, we
yeah.
have a nice picture there where people can actually link to buy the book. We also have it on our show page on Blog Talk Radio as well. You know,
oh, good.
Listeners can actually click and be linked right to that page as well.
Good. I created something called a hub page that
okay.
John Jantz of Duck Marketing, Duck Tape Marketing, told me about, and I suggested.
Brilliant, by the way. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Great guy. www.joellabava.com.
Oh, that makes sense.
It has everything about what I'm doing, the projects I'm working on. It has links to all my blogs and all my other websites. That's probably the best thing to do. But if you want to subscribe to a blog that will keep you up to date, just go to thefranchiseking.com, and that's an easy one to find.
You know, Don and I are going to get into a fight after the show now. We're going to argue about whose name we should choose. Should it be martinmcdermott.com or donjohnson.com?
martyanddon.com.
There you go, exactly.
Make it easy.
That's a great idea. But, Joel, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show, you know, and, again, I'd like to have you back as a frequent guest, especially
sure.
because you got that great radio voice.
Oh, know, thank you. Yeah, I used to do radio many years ago.
I remember you saying
a lot of fun.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, you know, and so that's fantastic.
Yeah, I get to go back to my childhood with you guys.
There you go. Absolutely. So I want to thank you again, Joel, and I guess we'll be talking to you soon.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joel.
Thanks
have
a
great
lot.
Day.
You're doing a great job. Take care.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, bye-bye. Joel.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yes.
I mean, it's just so informative, you know, and he's just very good at his job, you know, so
right.
I'm happy to
and
have
And like
him.
I said, even though he's very pro-franchise,
right.
at the same time, there's the reality aspect of it that not every part of franchising is good, you know.
It's not for everybody, that's
right.
for sure. You know, I think we've spent a lot of time talking about that, you know, that franchising isn't for everyone, and in fact, it's probably... I guess we could say not for most people, right? I mean, it's just, again, you have to have this ability to follow a system, and
you can't have an ego. I think Joel said. You know,
sure,
gotta,
absolutely. You know, it's just so important. And again, it must be hard for some of these people. I imagine, you know, that's something I should have mentioned to Joel is, you know, not having an ego. I mean, a lot of the prospective franchisees, I guess, that he deals with or you deal with, you know, I mean, some of these are very successful people. You know, I mean, again, they're in their 50s or. You know, they're late 40s, and
right.
they've had a lot of success, and they've had a lot of people work under them, and it must be a humbling experience, I think, sometimes, right? I mean, to make this change, and again, there's a learning curve, and
right.
So many other variables involved.
Just a lot of emotion at just starting up a business, but especially when you've been used to working for someone else for so long, and now you're taking the step, and it's a risk, so you want to lower your risk.
Right.
That's
absolutely.
Why you got to make sure you hire these professionals to check out every aspect of the decision and franchise you're eventually choosing.
Right. Absolutely. It's this is just looking at an article, Don, from Howard Bassick, and he's the founder of Frana, and he kind of echoes what Joel said. Listen to this. It says, "Decide what you want." It says, the most important question to answer when you're selecting a franchise. Can this franchise fulfill my business dreams? Answering this question takes plenty of self-examination. To choose the business that's right for you and that will fulfill your business dreams, you must know yourself, your skills, your dreams, your aspirations inside and out. That's why it's so important to begin your process of selecting a franchise by analyzing yourself. So taking a self-assessment, you know, is just really is the first step. You know, why are you doing this?
Right.
What's the purpose of it? You know, as Joel says, what do I want this franchise to do for me? You know, how's it going to make my life better? Again, you know, people don't buy drills because they need a drill. They buy drills because they need a hole, you know. So it's
right.
It's a means to an end, you know. And
good point. Write down your top 5 or 10 things you want to get out of
right.
the whole experience of, you know, being self-employed, of owning a franchise.
Absolutely, you know. So.
And they say, because I've seen a lot of stats on it, that usually, you know, to make more money is not always the number one answer. It's usually down there 3 or 4.
Right, and it's probably even had some guest on the show saying it's, you know, the worst reason, you know what I mean, to get into it, you know, is to make
right.
money, you know, especially at first, you know, because it's going to be difficult the first couple of years. You know, you don't want to paint that rosy picture. It's something else that's so important. It's been a common theme on the show. If, you know, you have a husband or you have a wife, I think you might have mentioned it, they have to be on board as well, don't they? I mean, it's
right.
just... so important, because if you don't have that, it's just not going to work, because again, it's going to be difficult, you know, the first.
You have to have 100% peace of mind in everything, all decisions that are being made,
right.
especially having family on board, yeah.
Absolutely. So again, you know, I think this is going to be one of those must reads for, you know, everyone looking to buy a franchise. And again, it's called The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. And again, Don, from my experience, you know, most people, and again, I don't say it to be condescending, I think they just simply don't know how to research, you know. So that's why I think it's great that Joel wrote the book, because they simply don't know. They think that just calling up, you know, yes, you have a list of all the franchisees for, let's say, whatever franchise it is. But what questions do you ask, you know, and how do you make a decision from all that information, you know, and are you recording
right.
all this information that you're getting? And
like Joel said, it's overwhelming. I mean,
it's overwhelming.
You have the magazines, you have the internet, you have the companies marketing to you. There's, roughly, what, about 3,000 franchises in over 80 industries, and, you know, that's a lot of businesses out there. So, you know, how do you choose which one?
Right. It is interesting. You know, it's probably, as you said, you know, it's more difficult to buy a franchise today than it's really ever been, you know. So,
right.
Just kind of interesting. So, again, another great show. And, again, we're going to have Joel back in the future. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com. What else, Don? Franchisefunding.net.
And, it's, you know, gofranchise.com as well.
Go
has all the interviews and...
again, we have about 80 shows recorded up to this point, so it would literally take you about 3 days to listen to all of our shows. But with no breaks, and at the end of those 3 days, you will know more about franchising than anyone on the planet Earth. So,
next week we got Edible, we got Brugger's after that, other great stuff lined up. So, you're looking forward to another good show next week, Marty.
Absolutely. So, you have a great day, Don, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.